Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, May the 29th. Men are banned from donating their blood if they have had gay sex in the past 30 years. The rule is in place because of fears over the transmission of HIV. The FDA created the rule in 1985, but our guest this hour says it's time for that rule to change. He's from one of the nation's largest blood donation organizations. His group, along with the Red Cross and another blood group, have criticized the ban as medically and scientifically unwarranted. Last week, the FDA reaffirmed the ban on its website, but the FDA indicated it would reconsider this lifetime ban if it received evidence that doing so would not pose a significant and preventable risk to blood recipients. So we'll talk about whether this policy should change or not, whether this could ease blood shortages without posing a risk to blood recipients. Is the current policy discriminatory, outdated, unwarranted? Would you be concerned if the policy changed, allowing gay men to donate blood? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send us an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
America's Blood Centers wants this policy to be changed?
That's correct.
Why?
Because we feel that the field and our understanding of risks in transfusion have changed. We have evolved during those 30 years. We know what is the agent. At the time it was instituted, we didn't know HIV, the virus. We have much better tests. We have much better questioning systems. And I think that we can have policies that gradually change without really changing the risk to the recipient of blood. That is our major concern.
So doesn't the FDA know what you know?
They do, but it's something that happens very much in science and in medicine. A group of people look at some information, and we come out with somewhat different interpretations. How much is enough is the question that is being now discussed with FDA.
Mm-hmm. You were disappointed with the reaffirmation of this policy on the FDA website last week?
Yes, I was. What we wanted is a gradual change. That is, we actually, there are some inconsistencies in the policies. For instance, a person that had sex for money, sex with a prostitute, will be deferred for 1 year. And the reason for those deferrals is time for the body to respond to the infection with the virus and the test to become positive, so that we don't have what we call miss the test because of the window period. And that 1 year is plenty. But we don't understand the difference between sex, a risk behavior with a prostitute, and a male that had sex with a male.
Mm-hmm.
Those inconsistencies are the inconsistencies that we would like to change. And so our first proposal was that we reduce the deferral period for everybody that had sex that could be considered risk behavior to 1 year.
Mm-hmm. What about what about IV drug users?
They are banned, again, indefinitely from donating blood,
mm-hmm.
and for similar reasons.
But your position is that someone who has had gay sex, you're saying that the 1 year deferral would have been okay. But maybe if somebody had gay sex many years ago, that particular person should not be banned from donating blood.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that is somebody that had the ban starts from 1977. So somebody that had a sexual experience several years ago would not be banned today.
Yeah.
If the policy were changed.
Let's say it was, more than a year ago that someone had gay sex. How do we know for sure that the blood that that person donates is not infected with the HIV virus before that blood reaches the blood supply?
The tests that we perform are very sensitive. The current test, there are two tests that are performed to detect HIV in every unit that is donated. One test is a test for antibodies, and that test becomes positive on average 22 days after infection. Then there is a second test. There is a genetic test. It looks for the genome of the virus, the DNA, the RNA sequence of the virus in blood. And that test becomes positive on average 10 to 11 days after infection. So our concern today is actually recent risk behavior. Is not what a person did in 1977. Mm-hmm. Actually, the concern is that when you ask a question about 1977, you are really kind of diverting the attention of the person from something that person may have done 3 weeks ago.
We're talking with Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers, who believes, along with other major blood donation groups, that the FDA should change its policy when it comes to blood donations given by gay men. Currently, men are permanently banned from giving blood if they have had gay sex in the past 30 years. We wonder what questions you have and whether you agree or disagree with our guest. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Tuesday, May the 29th. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon for At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, it will be Ben's May Open Line, where he will welcome your suggestions for future show topics and guests. That's after 5. We are wondering whether gay men should be allowed to donate blood. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this. Gay men remained barred from donating blood, leaving in place a 1983 prohibition that was meant to prevent the spread of HIV through transfusions. The Food and Drug Administration last week reaffirmed the policy on its website. This comes more than a year after the Red Cross and two other major blood groups criticized the ban as medically and scientifically unwarranted. Our guest is from one of those major blood groups, Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers, saying that this policy should be changed and that gay men or men who have had gay sex should not be banned or barred from donating blood. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. The FDA indicates that it will be open to reconsidering this lifetime ban if it receives data that doing so would not pose a significant or preventable risk to blood recipients. Do you think that gay men should be allowed to donate blood? Would you be concerned about the transmission of HIV? Could this rule change be one way to ease blood shortages? Do you think that this rule is discriminatory and unwarranted? Again, open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dr. Bianco, currently, it's been a very long time since I tried to donate blood, and I recall that there were, though, a list of questions asking whether I traveled to various places or whether I used IV drugs. And what sorts of questions are asked of people before they donate blood?
There are a number of questions. Part of them are looking at you and if donating blood would represent any risk to you. And the other set of questions are looking at the potential for transmitting diseases to the recipient of that blood, and the safety of the recipient is very, very important in, as a concept in the whole process. So there are questions about travel, like you said. Mm-hmm. People that travel to a region that potentially could have malaria, for instance, people that travel to certain areas of the world that have malaria, the Amazon, certain areas of Africa, they will be deferred for a year from donating blood. People that have lived in Europe for 5 years or more, or have lived in the UK for 3 months or more, are deferred from donating blood out of concern for the mad cow disease. Then there are a number of questions about having had certain infectious diseases and about having had, for instance, medications that would show that you had a disease for which donating blood could be a risk, if you had a heart disease and things like that.
But a man could be asked, I wasn't asked this question, I assume because I'm not a man, but someone could, have you had sex with another man since, whatever, 1977? So that question is asked, and
that question is asked of every donor. Have you had sex even once since 1977 with another man? Every male is asked that question.
Mm-hmm. And the male could just say no.
Yes, he could. Mm-hmm. But Joy, you know, one thing that we have observed over all the years with the voluntary blood donations, people that come to donate, they want to help. They mm-hmm. want to help somebody, and they are as concerned as we are about the safety of the person that is going to receive the blood. So they are in general very, very honest about their answers.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are observations, there are studies that show that on occasion people will anonymously refer to a risk that they had that they did not disclose at the time of donation. But those are the minority, the vast minority. Yeah. Majority of people will be very straightforward.
Let me bring in a caller, Karen in Milwaukee. Hi, Karen, you're on the air.
Good morning. I couldn't agree more with what he had to say. I said, I think that in today's society, that the people that are willing to come forward and donate, even people in same-sex relationships, are responsible enough to realize, like he said, what this is being donated for. And unfortunately, there are a lot of women who are in heterosexual relationships with a man who's not. And they aren't even aware of it. So where do you really draw the line there? I think that it's a shame. I think it's very discriminatory, and I think it should be changed.
All right. Thank you very much. A reaction, Dr. Bianco?
Well, it's an understandable reaction. I think the next step is how do we convince FDA that this is the right thing to do? And that's what we are working on. Unfortunately, the risks are so, or fortunately, actually, I said something really. Fortunately, the risks are so small, but this makes it very difficult to do those risk estimations. the risk for HIV is theoretically estimated at less than 1 in 2 million. So whenever you want to do a study like that, you have to use models, statistical models, that will try to assess what would be the increase in risk. And because it's so small, it's very, very difficult. You need very large numbers of studies, large numbers of donors, and you have to make assumptions that can be questioned, because people will have and make different assumptions. And that's what is happening in terms of our discussions with FDA.
Mm-hmm. Is this discriminatory?
It's a difficult question. I believe that the distinction between sex with a prostitute and sex of a male with another male is discriminatory. But that's a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you read what FDA posted in the web, they answered that question by saying that they believe that the statistics show otherwise. They show that the risk is higher for people that for gay men than it is for people that have risk behavior.
Yeah,
other risk behaviors.
If someone though, my blood, I tried to give blood, and I answered all the questions, but I was low in iron, so I didn't actually give blood because my iron count was too low. But I'm trying to think, if somebody answered the questions, maybe dishonestly, is that blood tested?
Oh, mm-hmm. All blood is tested. All donations are tested every time that the blood is donated. And so that's how we ensure that things are safe. But the way we look at it, there are several layers of safety. The first one is the blood donor, and where we recruit the blood donor. That is, we are going to recruit donors in organized segments of society. We'll go to universities, we'll go to places of work. We look for a population that is healthy and that is well. The other layer is medical history, and that's what we are talking about. That is where we know that there is a difference of at least tenfold between the incidence of certain or prevalence of certain infectious diseases in the general population and the population of donors. The population of donors is much healthier. And then we have testing, and we have other measures, like if a person is positive in a test, that person will remain in the files of the blood center, and a subsequent donation will not be used if that person is in that deferral file.
Our guest is Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers. His group and other blood donation groups want the FDA to change its policy when it comes to gay men giving blood. Men are permanently banned from giving blood right now if they've had gay sex in the past 30 years. And our guest says it is time, because of advancements in testing, to change that policy. We'll continue after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Tuesday morning, May the 29th. Back in 1983, the FDA created a policy meant to prevent the spread of HIV AIDS through blood transfusions, and it prohibited gay men from donating blood. If a man has had gay sex since 1977, that man is not allowed to donate blood. The Food and Drug Administration reaffirmed the policy on its website last week. more than a year after three blood groups criticized the ban as scientifically and medically unwarranted. We are talking with a guest who wants this policy to change, who says that gay men should be able to donate blood. That testing has improved and there would be no risk to the blood recipients. The FDA says that should it get scientific evidence that this would not pose a risk to blood recipients, it would be open to changing the policy. So that's what we're talking about this hour. Should the FDA change this rule, this policy, or not? Should gay men be allowed to donate blood? Or not? Would you be concerned about the transmission of HIV if this policy would change? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. And I'd be curious, are you a gay man who would like to donate blood but cannot because of this FDA rule? Our guest is with America's Blood Centers, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers, Dr. Celso Bianco, who is disappointed with the FDA's reaffirming of its policy last week. He's telling us why he thinks this policy ought to change. And again, we welcome your questions for him. Dr. Bianco, how much would this help in terms of blood shortages? Do you think that this is necessary to ease blood shortages?
It's a question again of estimation. I think that the difference would be small. The population that is eligible to donate blood is about half of the U.S. population. Only about 5% of the people that are eligible donate. So there are many people that do not donate blood while they are eligible. And there is room to improve blood collections. We have been doing better in recent times. We haven't had so many blood shortages as we used to have. But we still have difficult periods. Summers, like now, Memorial Day weekend is a difficult period. July is a difficult period when all the schools are on vacation, colleges are closed, and Christmas is another difficult period. So I believe that the issue should not be placed as an issue of changing and improving blood collections. The issue is really, I think, an issue of fairness and an issue of appropriateness of who do we select as a blood donor or we don't.
Mm-hmm. Would you go so far to say that anyone who has used intravenous drugs should also be lifted from this permanent ban from donating blood?
No, I would not, in the same way that I would not say that every gay man should be eligible. I said that our proposal is that the deferral be changed to a one-year deferral. This would be would give enough time for the body of the person, if that person was infected by HIV or by some other virus,
mm-hmm.
to... show that the infection was there. You know, the person generates antibodies that can be detected in the tests. And that's the time that we want to make sure that the tests are going to be accurate and are going to be sensitive enough.
Right. I guess what I'm just, if it is a matter of fairness, then if somebody used intravenous drugs back in 1985, what about the one-year deferral for that, too?
That's exactly the same.
Yeah. All right. So it is. Just give it a year for that as well. You are also pushing the FDA then to change that aspect of the policy.
We have not had discussions about that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we all recognize how conservative the FDA is and has to be, since they are charged by law with protecting the public health, and they get very concerned. And so we went stepwise.
I see.
And the only issue for which we had a joint position developed and studies and some model building to try to analyze the risk was with males which had sex with males.
Tim in Sparta joins us. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I absolutely support a ban on homosexual men being able to donate blood. Reason being, statistically, it has been proven, and I just heard this on another program not too long ago, and I forget the doctor's name. I'm going to have it later in the day and email it to you. But statistically, the homosexual community on men, the AIDS crisis has skyrocketed. It is disproportionate through, I mean, everybody knows everyone's susceptible to AIDS. However, when you take the homosexual community, and especially in men, AIDS is spreading and it's going up, where in the rest of society in America, it has leveled out or it has been going down. Now, more importantly, I mean, let's talk about facts here. The Center of Disease Control out of Atlanta, Georgia, has come out and has said the average lifespan for a homosexual man is 46 years of age. It's dangerous. And I don't, you know, if I had to get a blood transfusion or if one of my kids had to, I'd be very concerned if there was homosexual men that were in the pool. Another thing is on AIDS, it's my understanding you can contract AIDS and it won't even show up on a test. It can take up to 6 months before the antibodies build up in your body where it'll show up on a test. That's another concern. If somebody has had anal sex within the last 6 months, say 3 months ago, and has contracted AIDS where it won't show up on a test yet, and they donate blood, is that, you know, I would have questions.
Yeah.
Is there a fact that that would show up on the test?
Tim, what about our guest is saying that there would be a one-year deferral, and that would give enough time for...
Okay, even with the one-year deferral, I think, you know, it's like if you have a tattoo, if you had a tattoo, you know, you're excluded from giving blood. If you have intravenous drug use, because they have these rules because of the risk. We need to make sure that our blood supply is safe and secure. And when somebody gets a blood transfusion, that they don't have, how, you know, how many people in the 80s got blood transfusions that contracted AIDS? It's a travesty. And to put this risk, it's an unnecessary risk. I think that we need to make sure that the blood supply is safe. That should be our number one concern. And having homosexual men in it is a definite concern. Just like I said, address the CDC on the average lifespan, 46 years old. Dangerous lifestyle is deadly.
Dr. Bianco, you want to address Tim's concerns?
Well, I can try. Tim seems to be very adamant about it. There are some pieces of information, Tim, that I don't have that you seem to have, like these statistics from CDC. I'm not aware of them. But in terms of the time, and so I believe that what you heard probably is what CDC says. In terms of the time that it takes for a test to become positive, that has changed substantially, Tim. Today, the molecular test that we use for HIV will become positive about 10 to 11 days after the infection. So my concern is that when we talk about somebody that had sex with another man, a man that had sex with another man 30 years ago, we are really diverting the attention of that person from the risk that that person may have been exposed last week or 2 weeks ago. If you try to remember what you did, if somebody asked you the question, what you were doing in 1977, I don't know if you were born, but it's it's totally out of the mind of the person. You really don't know. So I truly believe that 1 year is enough, more than enough time, because it's several fold the time required for a molecular test to become positive, that is 10 to 11 days, or the antibody test, that is 22 days. And that's the basis for my position.
Let me hold you there. We're going to check our weather forecast, and then we'll be back talking more about whether or not the FDA should change its policy when it comes to gay men donating blood. Our guest says yes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, I'll talk with a guest who says immigration could be the issue that fractures the Republican Party. We'll talk with him coming up after 7 o'clock and wonder what you think about that. This hour, we wonder what you think about this proposal by our guest, who is with America's Blood Centers. His blood donation group, along with the Red Cross and the International Blood Association, AABB, have proposed replacing the lifetime ban that currently exists against gay men giving blood to a one-year deferral. Our guest says new and improved tests, which can detect HIV-positive donors within 10 to 21 days of infection, make the lifetime ban unnecessary. Last week, the Food and Drug Administration reaffirmed its policy, the permanent ban, on its website, but did indicate that it would be willing to reconsider if it gets the evidence that says that this is not going to be a risk to blood recipients. So we're wondering what you think about this. I'm a little bit surprised that our lines have been fairly quiet this hour. Do you think the FDA should change this policy and lift this permanent ban on anyone, any male who has had gay sex in the past 30 years? Currently, that man is prohibited from donating blood. Should this policy change and be a one-year deferral? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest and others say that this current policy is unwarranted. It's unwarranted scientifically. Many say it's discriminatory. We wonder what you think. Would you be worried about HIV? Should the policy change? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. There, I got our lines fired up. We're talking with Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers. And Dr. Bianco, now what is your next step now that the FDA said no change yet, but we'll consider it should we get further evidence? What are you going to do now?
Well, there are several scientists in the field that are looking at data and trying to refine the models, and so that we could present a new version of our risk models to the FDA.
Yeah, and apparently the risk models that were presented were not convincing enough to the FDA.
That is correct.
Yeah, so that FDA just does not believe that you can find out if this antibody is there or if the HIV virus exists in the blood donation in 10 to 21 days?
No, they accept that entirely. The concerns are more in terms of how many people that are currently positive for HIV would show up to donate. And so their estimates, there are theoretical estimates based on limited amount of data, and we have to find ways to change that, to do that calculation and to evaluate that potential risk. Because if you had, 20,000 people that are HIV positive to come and donate, then you could estimate some risk increased because of the potential for errors or something like that. I personally do not believe that this would happen, but it's a theoretical possibility, and that's something that FDA was very concerned about.
All right, let me go through some calls as quickly as possible here now that we're running short on time. We'll go to Heather in Menominee first. Hi, Heather, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I think it's a reasonable change to make it from 1 year to instead of 20. I think that's very reasonable considering the things that you've mentioned, the changes that you've mentioned in testing. You know, I'm in a kind of a parallel situation because I had cancer 25 years ago and have been told ever since that I can't donate blood. It's a source of frustration because I used to be a regular donor. I don't know, do they ever change those sorts of rules, or is that a permanent change?
No, that is really being reconsidered.
Is it?
And this, yes, and the several organizations are considering to accept an individual that had cancer a year after the cancer was considered controlled. And the year is essentially because we all are worried about the health of the person, if that person for some reason will need blood.
Okay.
But that is being changed, and that's what gives me hope that other changes can take place.
Thank you very much, Heather. John in West Bend. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I don't appreciate that you moved the conversation from why in the first place people with homosexual lifestyles were banned from the blood pool to move it to something with cancer.
Well, the caller brought it up, John. I'm sorry.
12 years ago, but don't make that a parallel that you're hopeful because people with cancer might be able to donate versus hopeful that people who engage in a homosexual lifestyle that puts them at risk for diseases. That's a different subject. So what was the ban put in place for is my question.
Concerns over HIV transmission
okay,
through
so
transfusions.
And you agree with that, doctor?
That if I agree with what?
What she just said.
About cancer?
No, I'm sorry. John, you're being unnecessarily testy here. He wants to know why the ban was put in place in the first place for gay men.
It was very simple. At that time, 1983, we did not know even if it was a virus that caused AIDS. And so the groups that were having the highest incidence were the groups that were banned from donating blood, and including at that time, they were males who had sex with men and were Haitians, for instance, because there was a very high prevalence of HIV in Haiti. This was later changed when it was realized that the disease was not restricted to Haiti.
How is HIV transmitted again? What's the best form?
The HIV is transmitted, sexually transmitted.
But blood to blood, right?
No, it's sexually transmitted through sexual contact between males and females.
But the sexual activity is not creating HIV, the transmission of blood.
Bodily fluids.
Bodily fluid, but is that bodily fluid included in blood?
Sure.
So you're saying that we should take a risk of contaminating the blood supply for what purpose? Why are we short on blood that we could possibly introduce tainted blood?
I don't think that you understood the argument that we have here. We are not trying to contaminate anything. What we are looking at, what is risky and what is not risky, what represents a danger for the recipient and what does not. And what I said is that reducing the lifetime ban in donations by gay men, that is gay men that had sex with another man since 1977, even once, that changing that policy does not represent a risk to the blood supply. That's what I try to convey.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Sue in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. He brought up the one thing that I need to have an answer to first, and that is the blood supply short?
There are periods of shortage.
Okay,
I
heard.
Are frequent. That is Christmas, is 4th of July. In general, the blood supply is sufficient to maintain need.
Because my point was that I would much rather have the ban lifted and have, because it seems you keep using the word donate, and that's great because I don't think people intentionally would want to poison other people. But when you, when we're paying money for blood, or when you get paid to donate, that I think is a much greater risk for people not being honest just because they need the money than somebody who...
We agree, but the blood system in the United States is entirely volunteer. People are not paid to donate. There are donations that are paid, but those are for industrial use, for the manufacture of medicines that are derived from blood, and these donors are paid to donate. But for blood, for transfusion in hospitals, in patients, all donations are volunteer.
Well, we're out of time now. Dr. Bianco, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Celso Bianco, Executive Vice President of America's Blood Centers. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thanks to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.